It's looking like Mark Carney's trying to outplay Donald Trump by getting some backdoor deals going with China against the warnings from Canada's security agency. But luckily, the government mouthpiece media is covering up all the past sins of China in Canada, doing all of the heavy lifting for Carney. And at the same time, we are seeing some protests start to erupt in Canada with some actual arrests for once, which has been interesting to see, which will connect us into touching onto Iran and as well as the shared problem between Canada and the US that continues to get worse. With a direct example of how it's affecting both countries today. Yes, it's the foreign entrepreneurs at work, but we do have a piece of good news and an interesting thing that I wanted to show at the end of the video, and it's not sarcasm, it's actually good news. There's a lot to talk about in today's video, so let's get into it.
I want to return now to a conversation about trade in this country, in particular Prime Minister Mark Carney's visit to China next week. With me now is CTV News political analyst Sharon Carr. Hi, Sharon, how are you?
He calls her a political analyst. I like to call her a bit of a political hack, because she's one of the ones who's like, great, look, guys, I'm just unbiased news. I'm just a political unbiased commentator. Yeah, sure, bud.
Good, how are you?
I'm very good. Okay, let's get into this. We're just talking about this, too, with Jeremy in Ottawa, too. But the visit to China next week, clearly the prime minister continuing this expansion, wanting to expand who Canada's relying on for trade. But this one in particular is a very complicated relationship. So what do you make of the visit next week?
I think it's a pretty big moment. We've gone through a number of years and a period of time where Canada-China relations has been very fraught. We went through the period when the two Michaels were detained there. We went through a period of time where there was very little diplomatic channels of communication.
I love that she brushes over the two Michaels like it's nothing. Yeah, sure, they did take a couple political prisoners back a couple years ago. We got them back. Yeah, sure, they were treated horribly as political prisoners. But Donald Trump's very mean. So if you think about how mean Donald Trump is, that's worth at least a couple political prisoners with China. That's worth at least.
And I think given what's happened in the U.S., we have to expand our trade partners. And I think the fact that the prime minister is going there is important. There's going to be things on the table like canola, EVs, that are going to be a point of discussion, but also national security and a few other items there. So I think it's really important. We can't pretend like China is not a superpower in the world in terms of where they stand. And I think diplomacy and having him go there is actually a good thing.
I think diplomacy and having him go there is actually a good thing. So what we just watched is this political hack basically minimized the security issue. She said, oh, it'll be a topic of discussion. And yeah, sure, political prisoners, that does happen every once in a while. But we got to remember, they are a superpower with a big economy and we'll ignore all the human rights abuses and all the things that they do. You know, sure, our security agencies are warning us. And Mark Carney himself a year ago said China is the biggest security threat to Canada. But Donald Trump is really mean. And I love the way that these small minimizing of all of China's sins of the past has led to this, where we see Canadian sentiment continue to shift away from the United States because, like she just did there, we watched her say like, oh, nothing wrong with China, or if there is anything wrong with it, it's worth the risk because Donald Trump is so mean and what we're seeing out of the U.S. And this is how we end up with sentiment shifts like this, where Canadians want to turn on the U.S. in favor of China.
Prime Minister Mark Carney will head to China on Tuesday as many Canadians reconsider how flexible they're willing to be when it comes to international trade. A new Ipsos poll for Global News finds 54% of Canadians support closer trade and economic ties with China. It's a sharp contrast with 2020, when 8 in 10 Canadians said they wanted less trade with China as that country detained the two Michaels. When it comes to new trade deals, 71% of respondents say the financial benefit to Canadians is the top priority, followed by opportunities for businesses at 66% and human rights at 60%.
And I understand that was just the general priorities list, not about China specifically, but we are seeing that sentiment in Canada start to shift, where Canadians are going, you know, maybe we do have more alignment with China. Here's what we are seeing. CSIS, so aka the equivalent, the very weak equivalent of the US CIA, issues espionage alert about suspects seeking sensitive information for Chinese intelligence. And again, Mark Carney himself said China is one of the largest security threats to Canada, but it doesn't matter because Bloomberg is reporting that China is eyeing Canadian, not Iranian oil to replace the Venezuelan imports. And that's what Mark Carney saw. He saw the dollar signs. He said, I don't care about security. And they really are doubling down on it. So Tim Hodgson, who is an absolute coward, dunce, dweeb, dunderhead, loser, is saying, I look forward to joining Prime Minister Mark Carney in China next week as the world's second largest economy. With many connections in my riding of Markham Thornhill, I know how many opportunities engagement with China presents. Oh yeah, Markham and Thornhill, just a hotbed for Chinese foreign interference, including putting hits on political opponents inside Canada. But that's where the real opportunities are, guys. Remember, Canadians and Americans, the reason this is happening is because Donald Trump is so mean, and we just can't get over that. It's more important to keep building these ethnic enclaves inside of Canada and allow China to get their tentacles deeper and deeper. Even though Donald Trump just said in a conference as explicit as he could, he would not be neighbors with China, Canada decided to want to get connected more to China. And here we have, actually, these are the protests that we are seeing today. This is being organized by Canada First. I have nothing to do with them, but it's just been interesting to see that, this level of uprising with the groups getting all rough and rowdy, having a good old Donnybrook out in the streets. Allegedly, a police officer was punched in the face and arrests are being made. I just find it interesting that it got so rowdy. And I also find it interesting that for some reason that the Antifa groups are so against this Canada First group, like this marching group with the flags here, which doesn't really make any sense because Canada First is a very small group. And for some reason, Antifa continues to respond in massive numbers against them. And I love that they're against them. And they're even one of the least controversial groups. It's very funny. They're just like a group of guys like, hey, we want Canada to be good again. And everybody's like, okay, sure, dude. Anyways, speaking of protests, we got this update on going on in Iran here, because I think this is pretty interesting history making stuff that we're seeing out of there.
We continue to track the latest in Iran, where mass anti-government protests are entering their third week and growing across the country.
Entering their third week, but the mainstream media just started covering it now.
Recent video of demonstrators filling the streets of Tehran. These are the most widespread protests Iran has seen in years, driven by anger toward the regime and worsening economic conditions. In response, authorities have cut access to the internet and phone lines in Tehran and other cities in an effort to curb dissent.
So it's been really interesting to watch the mainstream media have to basically try and work their way around the fact that, yes, it absolutely has a lot to do with the living standards. Yes, it absolutely has a lot to do with the regime. But considering the fact that hundreds of mosques have been burned down, I think there's another incentive in there, too. I don't think that they like saying that the people of Iran don't really want the Muzzis in charge anymore. And guess what? We don't want them in charge here either. That's why pushing back is very good. Two interesting points about this that I've seen. If there are any Iranian refugees, they're probably not going to be the good guys, because if we know that the people win in this, they're the good guys, allegedly, from what we can tell. And if there are any refugees, we're probably going to end up with the leadership who we don't want in our country. So you guys do not get to come over here. Interesting developments, though. Heavy U.S. military airlift into the Middle East is ramping up. Growing reports point to major action. That being said, as I've said on the channel previously, I almost never want to send over American or Canadian troops to the Middle East. I think we let those same people deal with stuff themselves. However, in this specific case, we might be set up for a good old Venezuelan smash and grab. And since we have the actual Iranian people literally putting out videos begging for Donald Trump to send in people and come clean it up, I think this is one of the few times, an exception, not the rule, where it could make sense for the good old-fashioned Venezuelan smash and grab. And if you know the history of Iran, which the country used to be called Persia, and Persia has a pretty storied and impressive history, actually. Quite an empire for a while, although they got wrecked by 300 Spartans who took on 100,000. Get wrecked, nerds. That being said, this has been pretty good marketing for Starlink, because they seem to be the only way that we're getting any sort of messaging or details out of Iran during this. Allegedly, we've seen some casualties on both sides. People are fighting, which is great. And the best news out of all of it is there is optimism, which is actually pretty motivating, because obviously we want to turn around Canada. We want to turn around the U.S., especially when it comes to those lovely, lovely foreign entrepreneurs. So the fact is that we are seeing the history-changing protests in Iran. It's pretty exciting stuff. And I really, really hope that they are able to accomplish what they want over there. And this is just a good reminder that this problem is also shared through other communities in the U.S. and in Canada. So Vrilliam here, coming off his pretty controversial last couple weeks, he had a bit of a blowback, but he put out this video here, which is very interesting for the Americans, but also it connects to Canada.
This is the map of H-1B workers currently registered in America. What do you notice about this map? They're all in Texas. Look at this, in Irving, Texas. Several H-1B employees were found to be working at a software development company, which is a 7-Eleven. This is an organized thing. Indian consulting firms run by American Indians are bringing in Indian workers on H-1B, then using Indian attorneys to game the system.
Yep, that's happening in Canada too. Institutional, full groups. All it takes is some small groups to have some power over some control valves, and then you end up with this.
Several companies have been reporting they'll hire a senior developer, a senior HR, whatever, like a supposedly high-level guy. He comes in, he barely speaks any English and doesn't know how to do the job.
Yep, I've had tons of Americans in the comments, specifically a lot of them from Texas, talking about how this is happening there. They've noticed the changes. And yeah, we've got examples happening from Canada too of people not being able to do the job. So here we've got some foreign entrepreneur on foreign entrepreneur violence here, with this guy exposing some of the fraud we've seen in Canada. I've talked about it before, but I love seeing this coverage here.
Poll in Canada's immigration system, and it's not at the border, it's in the classroom, because more international students than ever before are claiming asylum. And while this number is still low in comparison to all international students, it's concentrated in very specific institutions. Take Canadian Technology College. Of the 35 study permits it issued, 25 international students claimed asylum.
That means 100% of those claims is fraudulent. That means 100% of those claims is fake and illegal. That's why I think the entire asylum program right now just needs a mass rejection so all of those people can get kicked out.
That's a 71% asylum claim rate. Or Trevis Institute, where the asylum claim rate is approximately 30 to 40%. But what's interesting, Global University Systems is a conglomerate based out of the Netherlands that owns Trevis Institute, as well as a bunch of other colleges in Canada. In May 2024, representatives from Global University Systems met directly with Immigration Minister Mark Miller, and again in August 2024 as well. Their CEO...
They know this is happening. The government knew this is happening because they just saw it as a way to keep importing cheap labor. It was quantitative peopling. They said, oh yeah, keep bringing over your money, keep doing this. The Liberal government is complicit. All of these schools need to be shut down. We'll be talking about one in particular in a second, because this one is single-handedly brought in hundreds of thousands of people from one little school. Hundreds of thousands of foreign entrepreneurs got into Canada because of that. But he explains the other benefits too. You know, they get cheaper tuition if they switch to an asylum claim. They get access to all of this healthcare right away. And of course, it does not limit their working hours. If you're an international student, you have limited hours. If you're asylum, you can work unlimited. And then we end up with situations like this. Everyone knows I'm an employer. I've completely blacklisted Conestoga College. So that is the college that I'm talking about, from hiring. You guys did this to yourself. I'm absolutely shocked at just how poor the applicants from Conestoga are. My company had four postings up this month. Only one was a new grad. The others required a minimum of 4 years experience. Senior roles, every position got absolutely flooded with Conestoga applicants, and the first few seemed very impressive, so we gave them a shot, did interviews. Literally none of the four we interviewed could speak to us in English properly. It seemed like they followed the same script down to the same words and struggled to answer any technical questions. Along with that, three of the four applicants had serious hygiene problems, sweat smell, not dressed professionally, and one of them used our washroom and made a mess all over the floor and didn't flush. Speaking of washroom stories, they are absolutely annihilating my gym washroom these days. The new year, new me crowd has showed up in droves, and they are just wrecking everything. And it's not the Canadians doing it. So Canadians, Americans, make sure you still go to the gym. This is how you can see how shared and institutional this actual problem is. This should be the number one pushed back country where you don't want people from. It's coordinated. They're drinking our milkshake and they're slurping that money back to India. However, I truly do think whoever is able to get deodorant sales going in India, straight up, this is, I'm not even being sarcastic. If somebody is able to somehow get that into their society as a normal thing, that would become the biggest, most profitable business of all time. You're talking billions of untapped market. I cannot believe the deodorant and cologne companies are not just marketing like crazy in India, because if you somehow ever get them to wear deodorant, it would be insane levels of profit, like billions and billions of untapped customers, billions. Like these right now in like North America, Dove and Old Spice and all these companies are like fighting for like, oh, we grew our sales by 0.3%. That's amazing, just because of the market saturation. And then you do have all the natural companies, but imagine billions of new customers in India. That's just straight from a business potential. That's all I'm saying. And then maybe we can be the foreign entrepreneurs, go over there, sell them all of those products. Now, speaking of the good news that I wanted to say so that we can hopefully slow down the foreign entrepreneurs, we've got this tweet here from Isaac French, and he put this photo together. He said how it started, and this is his parents young when they first got married. And then he shows this photo here, and he says, how it's going. And he shares their story here, and he says, 37 years ago, my parents met each other and fell in love. 6 months later, they married. My dad was 18, my mom was 19, and this is all of us a few days ago, except for my eldest brother and his family. Truly my greatest blessing. All of us work together in a family business, some of which we, the siblings, have started, other which his parents started. And he writes about this in his short weekly newsletter, which is great. And you just look at all those white people and it's beautiful. It's beautiful to see. But the reason why I wanted to show this specifically is I hear a lot of pushback all the time when I'm like, hey guys, we can have kids. People can absolutely still have kids. We just have to lean on community more. Family has to become more important. Stop kicking out the 18-year-olds as soon as they graduate. And we can understand that communities can be built. We can rely on each other. And this is the way that we can continue to rebuild and have kids, because I do think it's important, especially because it's one of the few things that we have directly in our sphere of influence that we can control, which is building up our communities, having families, having kids. It's all great to see. So if you made it this far in the video, you absolutely rock. Don't forget to like and subscribe. We're trying to get these videos out in front of more people. We are trying to grow the channel. If you want to support the channel, you can do it through the link down below. You can also do it directly through YouTube. Thank you, and have a great rest of your day.